All right. Good
How are
morning,
you?
afternoon, evening. Good, how are you?
Brother Scott.
Brother Sheldon.
I am good. Good, good,
happy
good.
All Hallows Eve.
All Hallows Eve. Halloween. Something like that.
Something like that, yeah.
The goose, ghosts and ghouls or whatever it is.
Whatever
spooky
the
spooky and scary.
That's what they say. Yeah, can you believe that?
Yeah. We're going to talk about it. Is that what it is going to be?
We'll definitely do something like that.
Touch on evil, scary
stuff. Whatever that is.
From a Course perspective?
From a Course in Miracles perspective, yeah.
Since
that's kind of our thing, right?
That's what this thing's about. It's supposed to be, right?
Yeah, that's what we.
That's what we do.
Said
man.
We were gonna do. Yeah. I think you're still practicing A Course in Miracles. Is that true?
That's why
I should check in. Make sure. I shouldn't assume.
Of course. Radio.
Of course. You're studying the course.
Every day, brother.
Good.
Every day is a new, full of new opportunities.
A new opportunity. Yes. I was just going to say, always.
To practice.
Did you have any new opportunities this week that you wanted to share? New forgiveness opportunities?
Sure. I manage an auto body shop like we were talking about. And, we have gone through kind of a workflow process change in the front office, hired two brand new people and moved one person from one position to another. So basically, essentially three people in brand new positions for them. The two new people had very little prior experience in the industry. So there's been a ton of training and chaos basically, and then we were increasing, just sort of it happened, the volume and pace of everything. So it was like increasing the flow in the middle of total chaotic change and shifting roles and stuff like that. So it was interesting. I actually had a day on Thursday where a car looked like it wasn't going to go when it was supposed to go. Technically today is some shops are open today trying to, finish out stuff. And there was this, car's not going to make it kind of thing. And then we're rolling, we grade the volume and it has to be off the lot, gone, delivered to the customer, and it's not going to make it. And I actually said, fuck.
What? I gotta edit that.
That might have to be edited, but
dang
I actually
it.
Expressed or whatever you say that came out of my mouth. And one of my guys looks at me and goes, hey, whoa, whoa, whoa. You're the one who's supposed to be all zen and cool here. We're the ones freaking out. You're supposed to be cool for us. He's like, we are the ones who do that. You're the one who's Mr. Zen. And it was kind of funny.
Mr. Zen.
It was pretty funny. So I was cracking up and it kind of helped me shift and everything. But definitely ego stuff about not doing well enough.
Okay.
Not doing enough, not producing enough, not managing well enough, not all of that stuff came up. It's very interesting. And that's been something that at work, we talk about practicing at work. Those are the kinds of things. Can you be the light of the Christ? Can you be in peace and enjoy and completely happy and completely content when nothing's going right?
Okay.
And can you hold that space? Because the space has nothing to do with what's happening around you or to you. So you seem to be, right? And I got caught up. And it was kind of fun because it was kind of cool because my guy saying that to me helped me shift.
Yeah.
It helped me to see that I was caught, first of all. And I was like, whoa, thank you. Hey, thanks, brother. And, it still took me some time. And I had to go home and kind of look at what was coming up and recognize that I was starting to want to have a certain amount of cars get out of the shop. Like I was pushing, I was starting to push, Like I want this and sort of recognizing not my will, it's not my will. That's like an egoic will thing, right? Versus, divine will, Father's will, whatever you want to call it, versus, just being present and open and loving and compassionate and holding space and letting it flow the way it flows.
Mm-hmm.
And we ended up having a really good month.
Oh, there you go. Very cool.
I was able to release it, you know, and, you know, not that it matters really, because it doesn't, right?
Mm-hmm.
But had some other things happen and some cool things happen with some people, and maybe I'll share that later. But yeah, we had some cool things. But yeah, you know, there it is. You're doing the work every day. So
that is true.
Some days are. Day.
Yep. But, so, some days are easier than others, or better than others, and yep,
for sure, right? Some days
exactly.
Woo, you know, or whatever, or you're not even paying attention because you're just having fun, or it's easy, or you're
right.
Not caught up in anything and laughing at stuff and just seeing it all come up. And then some days you find yourself caught.
Yep.
And, you know, how about yourself?
I mean, it's been this past week, if we're just talking weeks, was, you know, I guess relatively easy compared to maybe things I've encountered over the last few years. So like you said, it's kind of nice. I mean, it's not like you really need to practice if you're already feeling pretty peaceful and happy and able to joke around even when things may appear to be kind of heavy, or you can see some people are kind of getting caught up or spun up. You know, you don't have to get sucked into that, right? Which is, I'm sure, partly of what we'll talk about today on, you know, the topic of, you know, Halloween. And I think that, you know, there's still a large contingency of folks that are kind of trapped in the fear of, you know, I guess, quote unquote, things like evil or darkness, you know. And I'm not going to say that in this reality that stuff does not exist. You know, I think there's people that experience those things that are very, for them, a very realistic level, but we're definitely going to talk about the course's perspective on all of that and, you know, how you can personally deal with it and then, you know, have more peace around that.
Sure.
Because it's something I struggled with for a long time, having a Catholic background like I did, and being very young when I saw a movie like The Exorcist. That movie freaked me out, man. Mm-hmm. And I didn't realize how much it had stuck with me, that with my kind of like the Catholic stuff. I mean, I was a young adult by the time I think I finally learned how to deal with all that stuff.
Yeah. And I think it's the thing that, you know, you're probably still dealing with on some levels, and we all are dealing with, right?
Yeah.
It's part of the culture.
Yeah.
And you grow up in a culture that's, you know, imbued with certain fears.
Yep.
And, you know, we all have to look at those things.
Yeah. But I guess probably before we jump into discussion around all of that stuff, like, we typically do a little guided meditation.
We do.
And I'll be honest, I do remember you did the last one, Sheldon, so I guess I'll do this. You're off the hook this week, Sheldon.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I'm ready though, but hey.
Okay. You know. This should be fun. Okay. So we'll go ahead and do the guided meditation. Again, if hopefully you're in a place where you can relax and get comfortable, or if you're working or driving, you can listen to this later. We would recommend you doing this while you're doing those activities. So just go ahead and get comfortable, either sitting or laying down. And just take a couple of deep breaths in and just slowly let it out. Just let your body relax. And then another nice deep breath in. And then just slowly let it out. And just allow yourself to focus on your heart center area. Somewhere around your chest, just you might get a sensation, or you might even start to see some bright light, white light. And just allow that sensation or appearance to just grow now, and just grow, expand out completely out through your chest, all encompassing yourself, your whole body, all around your body, and emanating it out as much and as far as you possibly can imagine, or feel, or see, just knowing that in this space that you're completely safe, completely protected. And just allow yourself to feel that peace, that warmth, that protection, that safety. And even at this time, invite in, I'd say, both your higher self, that aspect of you that is wise, is all-knowing, understands what you're going through, what you will be going through. And also invite in an even higher aspect of yourself. This is the ascended you, the you that has been through all the lifetimes, all the learning, has gone back to source, but still relates, can help and relate back to you in this form as a body. This is your true protector, the all-knowing you connected back to source. This is your immediate team that you can rely on. And maybe take a moment right now and see if there are any messages from either your higher self or ascended self for this time in your life, anything that may be helpful, or a question that you might have that you'd like an answer to. Just know that maybe if you're not receiving anything now, it's getting through at some other level. Will present itself at the perfect time. And now let's take the last few moments in this space to either look at, address, or bring up, you know, maybe any beliefs or any fears that you have around concepts like darkness or evil, or the words or experiences of, say, like devil or Satan, things like that, you know, depending on your background or maybe your life experience, whatever might bring up unease or fear around those concepts. Just allow them to be outside of yourself. Just notice if there's thoughts or images or sensations. And just know that the association you may have with these concepts need not be, and that this powerful white light that you have emanating around you can transform and heal those concepts. So allow those concepts at this point, if you either see them or feel them, to just kind of come in slowly into your field of white light and watch as that happens, how they dissolve or how they morph and change into more peaceful concepts. And if they're not, allow your help, your higher self or your ascended self, to help transform them or to allow them to move on elsewhere because they're not needed here anymore. And just know, for some, this may be a process. You may need to repeat this a few times or many times, depending on how old these may seem to be part of your experience. And again, just know that it need not be part of your experience anymore. And allow your higher self or your ascended self to take care of these concepts in the most appropriate way needed or possible at this time for you, knowing that you are always safe and that you have a team there to help you, including Holy Spirit. And just invite Holy Spirit in as well, this concept, this helper, this guide, to keep you safe and protected and peaceful at all times. Just know that this is a resource as well. And notice how that feels or felt when you invited Holy Spirit in. This is a resource that's always here, always present, always helpful. Now just be thankful of this experience that you've had, this transformative experience, experience with helpers and resources. And allow the white light that you have built up to just remain around you as you become aware in this space of your body, of your fingers and toes, and just start moving them, just coming back in fully to your body, just knowing that you're fully protected and safe. Always. And maybe take a deep breath in again. Just come back into the room and awareness of the room. And when you're ready, just open your eyes.
Wow, that was awesome.
You're back, Sheldon?
Not really.
You weren't taken anywhere?
Cool, cool, cool. Thank you, Scott.
Yeah. Anything you want to share real quickly about that experience for you?
It said, I got something like, you are the one. And it's kind of like, it's kind of like that, you know, it's not like an ego thing. It's like you know, it's always your, you know, your presence, your light.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you're always looking at. That's what is, right?
Yeah, that's why, at least for me, and this, you know, what was interesting, not only, you know, going through all the spiritual stuff in the course, but actually also through hypnotherapy, I learned that, you know, a lot of what is experienced, quite honestly, like if it's evil, quote unquote evil, you know, the vast majority is typically, you know, kind of made up in our own mind, right? And then there's other things that are clearly external that people definitely need help with. But a lot of it is we kind of make up our own stuff. And that's why we're our own best healers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
Cool, cool, cool.
Yeah. So now we get to delve into all this dark stuff.
Do you have your quote to help us?
Yes.
With it?
Yeah, so my A Course in Miracles quote for this show, this is in the text, it's chapter 3, paragraph 1 and, or paragraph 7, sorry, section 1, paragraph 7. Good can withstand any form of evil as light abolishes forms of darkness. And that's it. Simple.
Can you say it again?
Good can withstand any form of evil as light abolishes forms of darkness. And maybe I should read one that's right up above it, because that says, innocence is wisdom because it is unaware of evil and evil does not exist.
And that's what it referring to when it says you are pure and whole and innocent.
Yeah, again, you know, if you go back to the main root of what the course, the metaphysics of the course, it says, you know, you've never left God, you've never left home. You've created this illusion through the ego, and this illusion ranges for, you know, everything from seeing a sun rise and set in the morning to literally pure evil, because that's what the ego, through its shame and fear, thinks that it is evil and bad, and so it's going to manifest those experiences until it learns eventually that that's not true.
Mm-hmm.
What's your quote, Sheldon?
Mine's from the text, chapter 23 in the Foundation for Inner Peace version. It's page 494. The chapter is The War Against Yourself. And the actual section is, I guess, called The Laws of Chaos. And it's the very last paragraph. And it says, brother, take not one step in the descent to hell. For having taken one, you will not recognize the rest for what they are, and they will follow. Attack in any form has placed your foot upon the twisted stairway that leads from heaven. Yet any instant it is possible to have all this undone. How can you know whether you choose the stairs to heaven or the way to hell? Quite easily. How do you feel? Is peace in your awareness? Are you certain which way you go? And are you sure the goal of heaven can be reached? If not, you walk alone. Ask then your friend to join with you and give you certainty of where you go. It's a long, that's the whole paragraph.
What does that mean to you?
It's like, how do you feel? It's being connected to your level of peace and your sensation of peace within you at mm-hmm. any time.
Yeah.
It's the easiest. It says, how do you know? It's easy. Just, are you at peace? You know, is peace in your awareness? And for me, that's kind of what I do. How I, you know, it's just like I was saying when I was in the shop and running through, and all of a sudden and it took a little bit of a wake up from my brother, right? To say, mm-hmm. hey, wait a second, but to recognize, well, you're not at peace right now. You're completely caught up.
Right.
Because, I can be very active and running around, making a bunch of decisions, telling people what to do, moving stuff around, and be at peace with that. But I can also be doing almost nothing and be completely out of peace, right? So the activity level, the thought, mental stuff can be high and still be peaceful. And kind of recognizing that and dialing into when you are not, you have an awareness of, blood pressure, tension in your body. You feel tight. And that's what the first question was, how do you feel? Is peace in your awareness?
Mm-hmm.
So that's, to me, like the key, and that is the descent into hell.
Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're already there.
Yeah. I think that there's several layers. That's why I think it's interesting that, like in Buddhism or other religions, they talk about levels of hell. Mm-hmm. And that, the Course basically, I think, says, well, it doesn't see any levels. Just if you're not with God, you're in hell. That's like a very basic interpretation, right? So that's why I like your quote, because it says, if you identify with fear in any way, you've already taken a step out or away from heaven, which is exactly what happened when our ego was created. We took a step out, got really scared, splintered, fractured, and now we've created all of this.
Right. In the earlier paragraphs talk about this like logical, seemingly logical progression, they did that, then therefore, mm-hmm. this must be done and I have to defend and now I've got to attack. You know what I mean? And like that whole
right.
logical progression makes sense from the egoic perspective of separation and separated beings, right? Separated
right.
individuals. So it kind of says, yeah, it makes sense and it's going to follow. If you go that way and think that way, you will have that conclusion, but the result will be you will not be at peace.
Exactly.
And so recognizing that even though to your ego it makes sense, right, to your heart or to love or whatever you want to call it, Holy Spirit, unconditional divine love within your heart center, like you were taking us in the meditation, right, none of that matters.
Right.
And peace and love and compassion and connection is always there and always present and always attainable or connect, you're always able to connect to it at any moment.
Right. And yet I think that there are varying levels of how people experience like concepts of darkness and,
sure.
And evil. Because I know some people have had, some pretty crazy experiences in that regard. And again, living in this dualistic experience, that will be present. And so I think on one hand, it's, I would say there's the Course philosophy saying if you truly want peace, then you can get there. Calling in like Holy Spirit is probably a huge way to do that. And other people I'd probably identify with other things like angels or archangels is very helpful. I would say, realistically, if you're experiencing some dark things, dark experiences, the Course is meant to provide like a philosophy and a way to deal with things. But at the same time, if you're out of peace to the point where you're experiencing some pretty dark stuff, then, it's like, hey, take care of that, you know. In no way is the course meant for you to shame yourself or to try to dismiss something that, you know, you might be going through.
Sure. I mean, like, it's just like if you're sick and you need to take the medicine, take the medicine. Go to
the doctor. Right. Don't sit there and go, oh, well, if I was doing this right, exist. I can heal my mind and, yeah, I don't have to be going through pneumonia or cold or whatever. Exactly. There's a practical side to dealing with all this, but you can still forgive in your mind even while you're going through some seemingly pretty crazy experiences. You know, right. It's like you take care of yourself, you take care of your body, but then you're still dealing with everything in your mind and asking for the Holy Spirit to come in and heal and bring peace.
Yeah, and I look at it as love and compassion, holding love and compassion for yourself.
Yep.
You know, for your experiences. Right? Holding love and compassion for your thoughts and your fears,
mm-hmm.
because that's what brings you out of fear, right?
Yep.
Out of separated into love. You know, you're either in fear or you're in love. And how do you do that? You have to hold love. You can't judge the fear, right? Oh my God, I can't believe I'm doing this. I'm A Course in Miracles. This isn't real, you know?
Boom, boom, yep. boom.
You can be fully in absolute judgment of your judgment and your fear, right? So you're still on the side of fear and judgment and attack.
And right.
So how do you, you know, can you shift yourself into that space of love and compassion for everything, including your fears? That's what shifts you out. And that, you know, that's kind of what you're saying, like holding space. Is it okay? Do I need to do something? Do I need to, you know, whatever that is? And I do think that the course is totally absolute, right? But the mm-hmm. journey into that return, take an instant, right? But at the same time, it does feel like for me the experiences of unfolding into the oneness doesn't end and always deepens.
Mm-hmm.
And in that process of unlayering, there's always the choice for dualistic thinking.
Yeah.
When you do that, you always have the polarity of good and evil.
Mm-hmm.
So at some point, you know, ultimate bliss, ultimate evil. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
On the way to ultimate bliss, you have the choice for ultimate evil. And that is the power that you have, and I think the Course does talk about that, that the ultimate choice you have is the ultimate power you have is the power to choose. You always have that. You were given that. And that's why you can choose to look through the eyes of the ego and forget, right? Your reality is not that, but you can choose to forget it. So as mm-hmm. you're waking up through multiple layers and dimensions of levels of depth of oneness, you always have the option to say, what is that other thing like? And when you have done that, there's a manifestation of that. And that manifestation can appear very dark.
Yeah, definitely. I mean,
What dispels darkness? Light. It's simply the absence of light. But the appearances of those things can be very dark. You know what I mean? So it's kind of an interesting thing. Ultimately, the choice is always into love and greater levels of love, but there even within that there are bridges that help you connect to that when you don't feel it for yourself, like you're saying, calling in an archangel, calling in Holy Spirit. Those are all bridges that are helping you to anchor into a place that you forgot you're there, you know. So if you need to do that, if that brings a level of comfort, then that's okay. And that's, you know, part of the process. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think that's why I wanted to talk about maybe some real practical ways that maybe each one of us has dealt with this stuff. And because I wanted to start out with something that was seemed very real for me. This first example, which was, again, growing up Catholic and being taught the concepts of hell and the devil, and then at being like, well, I think I was like 6 or 7. My parents didn't even know this. I was in a room by myself watching The Exorcist, like, you know, probably around like a Halloween time frame. And that movie, I mean, totally messed me up for years. Like, especially when I was at that time, I remember I couldn't even sleep for like a week after watching it, and I'd have nightmares. And then, you know, I would keep getting nightmares, you know, at least a few a year up through, you know, I was probably in my late 20s by the time I finally really addressed it. And it would show up in that I would think of the devil, right? And I would get so scared, I would be afraid that the devil would come in and take over my body and take over me, right? And it felt very real. I was like shaking afraid. It got less so, but it would still bring up a lot of fear for me until I literally learned how to just sit there and like look at it head on, you know? Because mm-hmm. part of what I was doing was running, right? It was always like some sort of a running away from,
right?
And making up in my head this fear that for me wasn't really there. It was just made up. I don't want to dismiss people that may have actually had experiences in their body, which we'll talk about in a little bit. But for me, it was sitting down inside my mind and going, wait, I'm not going to let this run me anymore. And like really looking at it and really learning how to transform it by bringing in help, you know, like bringing in the time. I don't think I was into the Holy Spirit concept, but just bringing in help and guidance around healing it and seeing it differently. Yep. But I had to sit and be with it, not try to just be like, someone else come in and take care of this for me. Cause I think that might be an element that's really helpful is when you finally are ready to really sit with it and take it on. I think there's a lot of movies that show that or try to show that concept as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's huge. That's pretty cool. How old were you when that was going on?
When that first happened?
When you were able to sit and look at it?
Probably late 20s.
Because that's pretty awesome. I mean, really, that's the core of facing any fear, right? Any level is being able to look at it. And that's what the teaching is telling you. You can't mm-hmm. ignore it. You have to look at it so that you can release it. Because it's only in the looking at it, directly at it, that you recognize that it doesn't actually have any real power.
Right.
The power is the fear that it generates.
Yep.
When you look at the fear and it dissipates.
Yep.
But you have to go into it to see that.
Right. And that and it didn't really completely get rid of it. I think what helped eventually was it helped me go down a path of getting additional healing. Like I think this was before I was taking hypnotherapy training. I went to a hypnotherapist and she did like some sort of like timeline therapy, and that really helped almost, I think, pretty much completely get rid of it, which was pretty amazing to me.
Wow. So she went back in time and then helped you to deal with like the young boy that was seeing the movie kind of thing? Or
It was before that. It was interesting. It was before I was really even kind of aware that I understood past life stuff. Like she would even go, is it this lifetime or previous? And it ended up being like many lifetimes prior. Mm-hmm. And so it went all the way back there. And then, you know, it was a pretty quick method. It was pretty interesting. It's not like I went in and understood what that lifetime was. It was just go back, heal it, and move forward and make sure it wasn't there anymore.
Yeah, and I think we've talked about that before. To me, none of that stuff, it's all part of the unfolding healing process, right? And so mm-hmm. you have these things that, and I think the course actually mentions lifetimes, right? That you have these things, experiences, and if they're unhealed and unreleased, then they're manifesting here in this moment, right? Because the moment is happening for the unfolding of that. It's like that movie was a blessing because it brought up this unhealed stuff from past lives, and that's what it was there for, was to trigger it so that in your awareness you had the capacity to release it at that point. But you know, when you're in it, obviously it's traumatic and right. But when you're through it, you can kind of look at that and go, wow, had that not happened, I would have never known that this stuff was, I was carrying it with me. And now that I've let go of it, what a blessing that was to have that whole process, even if it didn't feel like a blessing at the time, you know? And that process is what all the healing is about of the, you know, in the process of basically greater release into love, into greater depths of love. right? Mm-hmm. And peace and compassion, enjoy. But you have to do, sometimes you have to, and that's what I think I've said that before. For me, I've had those things where you've done looking at past life stuff and had it really be profoundly enabled to release that, had it be profoundly able to shift you now, in this, in the present moment, which is where it all happens anyway, right?
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes there, I think there are energies that are caught and stuck.
Yeah, I think definitely at a practical level, it's, you know, again, there's the pure non-dualistic side of the course that says, well, from a non-dualistic perspective, there is no such thing as past lives, because you're all, it's all one, and you're having one experience, what that might appear to be time and many people, but it's really just one mind having that experience. But at the same time, you can still use the illusion in the game to your advantage to heal. Mm-hmm. And going back and examining past lives and healing in that area is, can be very helpful. Yep, totally. Mm-hmm. Do you have any experiences, Sheldon, of like experiencing or having to deal with things that would be considered dark in nature, and how you healed it?
Not like the devil, but I think, did I talk about that one last time with, you know, the Dave, the guy who was the healer, and talked about, you know, Atlantean, you know, battles and stuff like that, and having, you know, lost a bunch of people and been blamed for it and accused and all that kind of stuff. And he was like, you were an Atlantean commander and you lost your whole battalion or whatever, you know, like a mm-hmm. whole bunch of people died in a battle that something happened, but it wasn't your fault. And you had mm-hmm. no control over it, but you took, you had to take responsibility for it, and you were blamed for it, basically. And that is definitely one of my buttons that I've seen very clearly, is this idea of being falsely accused. And it's happened throughout high school, college, after college, where, you know, just sitting around and innocently sitting there and getting yelled at by the teacher. Only one mm-hmm. in the whole class not talking. And you come back here, and just screaming at me.
Mm-hmm.
What is going on? And, you know, that kind of stuff. And seeing that when he said that, and I just start shaking and convulsing and crying, like really this like whole body shaking, just blabbering, crying. And on one level, your conscious mind, like, it makes no sense, you know, like, what is that? Like, I wasn't particularly into like finding out what my past lives were, right? But seeing how all of a sudden when you have that, it's kind of like a key moment, and you connect to it, you kind of see the pattern in your life,
mm-hmm.
you know, recognizing, wow, I used to not like having people in the car when I drove. I didn't like driving people around. You know, that's why I rode a motorcycle for 10 years. I can kill myself. I'm okay. I don't want to kill anybody else. If I go down on a bike, I'm the only one dead. You know, I used to mm-hmm. have those thoughts. Where did they come from? Right. I don't know, you know? And then when I saw that, I said, oh, maybe that's, you know what I mean? It all ties into this thing. And when he released that, it helped me release that. All of that stuff went away.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, like huge fat layer of it. So that kind of thing happens. I've seen where, you know, it's seemingly past life. But it's also present moment. It always is. But having the window opened into kind of like the core event helps to release it throughout all the timelines.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what happens. And that to me is like a beautiful thing, because it's helping you to release. I think that sometimes when people get into the past life stuff, then they get caught up and, oh, I was this and I was that, you know? And then it becomes an egoic hook to look at me. I was a king once, you know? Or whatever, you know, and when you're looking at it as part of a greater unfoldment into love and compassion and oneness, right, which is what it is, then it's can be a helpful bridge. And it's part of, it's just like forgiving your mom, you know, or whatever, you know, in this lifetime, it's just part of that process. And
true.
Yeah, and some of those energies are pretty potent.
Yeah, I mean, they are. They, yeah, and that's why I wanted to talk about a couple things. And like one experience that I had was with when I was doing hypnotherapy. I had one of, and it was one of my earlier clients had come in, and there was literally, you know, in the session, something dark wanted in her mind, wanted to take her, right? Literally said, I want to take you into hell. You know, it was like she took on a different voice, you know, and what it appeared to be, you know, some dark entity was in her mind, you know, taking over her, right? And it was interesting having, you know, study the course and be in the middle of a session like that. You know, my first reaction was basically, I need to help this person because there's something here sure. that's not right. And it was interesting because actually my first reaction was I was mad. I was really mad that this thing was coming in to take over this woman, at least in her mind, right? Because, you know, ultimately, at least the reason why I got into doing things like hypnotherapy is I want to help people, I want to heal them. But I thought it was interesting that my first reaction was just pure anger. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I'm going to get this thing, right? Mm-hmm. But then, you know, as we were doing it, I realized I started to soften. And again, remembering like the core stuff and going, well, wait a second, I'm not here to like destroy this thing because it's just part of our mind experience, right? Mm-hmm. And just instead start to have more compassion for whatever this thing or this woman was making up in her mind. Cause I didn't, you know, who knows what goes on mm-hmm. at that level. But just as soon as the compassion started to come in, even this dark thing started to not be quite as evil, I guess you could say, at least in the words it was using and in the phrases it was using. But it still required work. And I also realized that it was the client needed to do this work. Like it wasn't meant for me to be the healer or to help. It was, you need to learn how to deal with this. And we went through, you know, several different processes, and it, I don't know if it fully went away, to be quite honest, but it resided quite a bit. And at least this woman had some tools to use when she left. And I have no idea what happened after that. But, I mean, it was pretty crazy to hear, like, a different voice. And it was pretty dark. It was pretty, sure. quote-unquote, evil in what it was saying. And that happens in people's minds or in their real, you know, experiences, right? And I think Absolutely. On a practical level, you have to know how to protect yourself.
In, you know, I have the guy, Bishop Michael, Master Michael, that I go see and talk to. And, you know, he's done the course, but part of a holy order that, you know, they all practice the course, but they also are very esoteric. And you can see things all, you know, see your aura, see your energy, see your center, see your light, see this, see that. See, oh, you got something stuck on you or whatever. Like, it's like broad daylight. Like, look at that. Mm-hmm. So when you look at that from that perspective, and he does things like, you know, teaches an exorcism. What is an exorcism? It's a blessing of love and light. That's it. You know, it's a blessing of love and light. And when you look at it from levels of frequency of radiation, of light levels, and energy states and lower states and higher states, but it's all a spectrum of oneness. Can you help, you know, by your holding a higher level of light, ultimately, at the core, the divine spark within is the same, right? It's all oneness. It's all one beautiful radiant light. But at this current level and dimension and reality for this person, are they stuck or seemingly stuck, right? And we're all brothers. And so can you, holding that light, blessing that person with light, help release something that's blocking them? It's just like releasing an old memory. And helping them, it's the same thing. The memory has a light, an energetic state associated with it. So when you're releasing it in your mind by saying, I forgive and I release, and asking the Holy Spirit, or when you're seeing it in somebody's energy field and releasing it and helping them release it, they can actually heal. And so it all works.
Yeah.
It's just a lot, it's just more complex And again, I think for you, right, what the beautiful thing you were able to do was see your anger, and you're going through your own anger into your place of love and compassion. And then from that place, you move forward. And when you're there, you're always blessing. When you're in a place of oneness and connection and love and compassion, whatever you do is an expression of that. And that is what you always have to remind yourself and remember to connect to first. Seek first the kingdom within. Oh, I feel anger. Rather than attack, you know, it's like the Jedi warriors, you know. You are a samurai warrior. You are in a place of peace. Do you still act with strength, you know, and conviction? Mm-hmm. And sometimes aggressive movement. Sometimes it's necessary in this dimension, right? But are you doing it from a place of fear, anger, judgment, condemnation, or like zen-like quietness in your mind and heart is still open, bam, and you're moving forward? And in that place, you know, your action is clearer, right? You know?
Yeah, that's why.
Go ahead.
No, that's why I personally, I like the Matrix movies, and especially, you know, the last one where kind of the Neo character basically allows the evil, he's not a robot or whatever he was, the program in the Matrix, Agent Smith, mm-hmm. allows Agent Smith to basically change him, right? Stick his hand in there and overcome him. But in the end, because he did that, it destroys the evil. Mm-hmm. I think, honestly, for me, that was a powerful metaphor of if you kind of sit with love and allow this stuff in, you automatically will transform it.
Right. That's cool. Yeah, because what is it? Resistance to anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, resistance to anything is a form of attack.
Yeah, what you resist persists, right? Yep. That's the
resistance
standard line.
Anything is a form of attack.
Yeah, but if you sit, yeah, I think if you sit with love and or curiosity, it can start to transform it, you know?
Absolutely. That's why become as a child to return to the kingdom. It's an innocent wonder without judgment. But there is a curiosity of like, hey, what is that? Why
yeah.
is that? Oh, cool.
And if, you know, in your mind or in reality, you're dealing with something that seems dark, again, if you're sending love and light out, it won't want to be around that. Mm-hmm. Like one of the things, it's been interesting too, as part of the hypnotherapy training and experiences, like when you're bringing in like a guide or a symbol to help, there's a test that you can do where you're sending like a beam of light from your heart. And if there is an aspect of your mind or an experience that is not there to be totally helpful, if you're sending love and light out, it'll go away. Mm-hmm. It's kind of neat. I mean, it seems to work, what I can tell, 100% of the time. Mm-hmm. And I've encountered experiences taking clients through where like you can kind of tell like something's there and it's not, doesn't seem to be of good intention. And you do that and it goes away. It's pretty amazing.
That is awesome. That is awesome. Cool.
Yep.
Cool.
Practical things that you can do while you're still practicing the course. Because at the same time, you know, if you're probably not in the middle of experiencing something dark, you want to just kind of take care of yourself. But you can forgive, you know, afterwards.
Sure.
Just sort of forgive that situation, you know, heal it in your mind. Bring in the Holy Spirit to heal it.
Yeah.
Calling even though that love, probably is the best time to bring in the Holy Spirit while
right.
you're going through it, but hey, can't always remember.
You know, our friend Darren, right, does all that kind of stuff, Darren Owens.
Mm-hmm.
And helps, you know, exercise and release things and deals a lot with that type of stuff, but he's always calling in the Holy Spirit and using white light, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what my first memory of being around Darren when he was doing healings, he would call in the Holy Spirit. I mean, and he was, you know, when he would heal people, they would do the thing where they would fall backwards, right? And kind of maybe leave their body a bit, which was pretty crazy, you know, not crazy, but fun to see or interesting to see, mm-hmm. just because I had only read about that or heard about that stuff. But yeah, if you're calling in something as powerful as the Holy Spirit, it's going to make some big changes.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty cool. Pretty cool. Again, it's that whole thing about it's a little, the awakening process, the return to oneness, is fairly kaleidoscopic, I think.
Yep. Yeah, and that's why, again, you know, the course, sometimes I think the course gets misinterpreted as a, you know, like a course in law of attraction. And I can understand how that would be the case, but the course's point is, why would you want to, you know, spend all of your brain or mind power on thinking about, you know, wealth and obtaining things, or in the case, or thinking about darkness and fear and evil, when all you need to do is think about love, think about God, think about peace, mm-hmm. talk, you know, have conversations with the Holy Spirit. Just turn your mind away, literally, you know, metaphorically, turn around, turn away from all the dark stuff, or, you know, less than pure light stuff, and just look at pure light, look at love, concentrate on that, and then your mind eventually will just be in tune with that 100% of the time.
Right, because turning towards that and thinking and connecting to that is raising your vibration.
Yep.
And that vibration will attract higher vibration stuff.
Right. But the ego set up. Yeah, right. But the ego set up to be like that pestering kid always pulling on your leg. Turn around, look at me, look at me, look at me. And you just have to keep going, no, go away. Nope, go away. And if they're becoming more persistent or seem to be physically hurting you, then it's like, okay, call in help, you know. But I'd say first step is, you know, be responsible on your end first and see if that, you know, can help transform your situation.
Mm-hmm. And I do think that you can look at the ego. You can look at your thoughts. You can look at your wacky thoughts, right? Your crazy, wacky thoughts.
Crazy, wacky, yep.
With love and compassion and childlike curiosity and interest and go, wow.
Yeah, I mean,
It's the matter of getting caught in them and believing them and running with them. There can float whatever can float by. Whatever cloud can go through your sky, you're still the sky, right? It's when you think you're that cloud and get attached to it. That's where the trick is.
Right. Yeah, I think there's been a lot of studies or, you know, opinion around people that do seem to have darker experiences. It's usually because they've had some sort of pretty crazy, traumatic, physical or emotional thing happen to them in childhood, or, you know, they've felt really shameful or fearful of themselves or their situation, and it's just grown and gotten worse over time. So typically a lot of the healing can occur by forgiving yourself and forgiving
absolutely
what you thought happened to you or your own sense of guilt, fear, or shame.
Yeah. I mean, because that is what it ultimately comes down to. It's just sort of like the pathway that one might take into that and the technique. Mm-hmm. That's what I look at is a lot of this. This course is a technique.
You know? Yeah.
There are other techniques that absolutely work.
Yep.
It's a technique for opening into, you know, love and light, right? Does it work? Absolutely. Is it incredibly effective? For sure.
Exactly.
Yeah. Are there others that work? Sure. Absolutely.
Yep.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, hey, I'm noticing we're getting close to the top of our hour. This conversation has gone by quickly.
It has. Got kind of all kinds of interesting stuff.
Yeah. It'll be fun next year at this time to continue. Or maybe we'll have a special show just on this topic. We'll see. But before we go, Sheldon, is there anything going on at AUM that you wanted to mention?
I am doing a heart-centered man. What does it mean to be a heart-centered man in this time? It's kind of it's an ongoing every other week group. We're meeting on the same Saturdays that we have our show. So at 1 o'clock today at AUM Center, 149 South Boulevard in San Mateo, California, from 1 to 3 p.m., 2 hours.
Excellent. Hopefully folks will be dropping by for that.
How about you?
The manuscript for Forgiveness, Inc., which is all about applying A Course in Miracles in the workplace, is submitted So now I'm just waiting to basically have the book cover and back cover designed, and then it should be out, published soon.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so we'll definitely talk about that some more on another show.
Forgiveness Inc.
Forgiveness Inc.
That is
Secret
cool.
Spirituality at Work.
Stealth operators.
Stealth, yeah, that's right. That's why I love the course, because it's just all up in your head.
Stealth operators of love.
The stealth bomber of love.
The stealth love bomber.
There's an oxymoron. Yeah.
Dropping love bombs. Down low.
Beautiful.
Cool.
All right. Well, once again, it was great chatting with you, brother.
Always, Brother Scott.
And I hope those that have listened or will listen and have a wonderful Halloween or All Hallows Eve.
Hope you had fun.
Enjoy and happy All Saints Day. All right.
Take care, Scott.
Love you, Sheldon.
Love you, brother.